Yo, what is up? Welcome to episode number 18 of the Culture and Cannabis Podcast. I am your host, Anthony Lee, aka Full-Time Tony, with my guy, JC Coates. What's good, JC?
What's good, brother, man? We're here, man. We're here for another episode.
Number 18, bro. Who thought we would make it to the 18?
Here's the thing. We're here every Thursday.
Yeah, every Thursday. We come to you live. What time is it right now? 4:10. We're 10 minutes off from 4:20, so
basically,
you
know, 4:20.
Come check us out every Thursday. But we have some great guests today.
We have some great guests today.
Who we got today, JC?
So just some killer guys that I've been able to get to know, through our event experience. I think, we got the Roken team in the building today, and they've been, participating through our event for, I think it's been 2 years.
Yeah, almost since the beginning.
And
yeah.
So, if you guys don't know about Roken,
you're living under a rock.
You're living under a rock, right? And so it's been amazing to get to work with this brand and see everything that you guys have been able to create. And, you know, we got Daryl, the CEO here, and we got Tyler, head of sales, and man, we're gonna dive into to their story today.
Definitely. So how did this all start? How did Roken get going?
Well, originally I came up with the concept back when I started traveling to Amsterdam back in, I think, about 2003. So in 2003, I learned about vaping in Amsterdam because I had never seen it before here in the U.S., nothing more than smoking a bong or lighting a joint. And so when I saw the vaping over there, I was really intrigued by it. Matter of fact, when I came back, I built my first vape device myself. And then we started thinking about, well, this could be a great concept to do one day. So, that's where I came up with the name Roken, where Roken is actually named for the Roken district of Amsterdam. So it's kind of paying homage to where, like, you know, marijuana legalization kind of really started and, where we came up with the concept.
Beautiful.
That's awesome. And so, like, obviously, I mean, you have the that's the mini take, right, that we have on the table here?
Yes.
What was your first product? Like, obviously, you made one at your house, but, like, what was your first, like, come-to-market product?
Our first market, the product that we came to market was our wax and concentrate pens. Mm-hmm. So I think when we first launched the company, which was, like, the last week of 2016, that was what was still kind of popular at the time. Cartridges were starting to gain some steam.
Yeah, they weren't as popular cart-wise.
Mm-hmm. And then we came out with the mini tank actually at the end of 2017, as I had the idea that the market was going to switch to more of a plug-and-play type model, where I thought, you know, with these cartridges, you know, your hands don't get sticky, nothing gets messy, and I was like, you just screw it in, hit the button and go. And I was like, you know, I really think this is going to be bigger because it's so much easier to use. And I watched people that weren't like cannabis connoisseurs. And they were just like, they didn't know what to do with the concentrates and stuff. And then with the cartridge, it was just easy. And I was like, all right, that's probably going to be what the majority of customers are going to do.
No, definitely. And so, the elephant in the room is, you know, what's going on with right now in the vape world, right? And so, is that affecting you guys? Do you care about that? Do you even
I think it does affect us all. I mean, we do see a slowdown a little bit in the cartridges. Especially, you know, because of the issue with the black market cartridges and the vitamin E acetate. I can imagine a lot of people are fearful of what is in their cart right now at the time. So I think it's definitely a huge issue. And I think it's brought the issue to light that we need, you know, more regulations and that we need to be, making safe products for the consumer, and that just, you know, processing oil, putting it in a cart without testing or really, you know, properly manufacturing is not necessarily the greatest thing.
No, definitely. And do you think that, you know, are you going to, take that like upon yourself to start making your own product?
We actually have plans and we're in talks right now to start making our own oil and our own concentrates is definitely we want people to be consuming safe products. And we think one of the best ways for us to do that would be involved in the manufacturing process and put it under our brand, our quality standards, our testing. So we can assure the customer this is a safe product because we were involved in the manufacturing of the product.
That's awesome. And then where do you guys, obviously based out of Vegas here, right?
Yes, we're based out of Vegas.
And then, so you plan on, you know, probably starting in the Nevada market, hopping into you guys are in a ton of dispensaries already.
Well, yeah. And then you guys are already in how many markets across the country?
Most of them.
Yeah.
Almost all of them, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, pretty much most of the active licensed states where we have accounts in pretty much across. And then, you know, CBD wellness stores and stuff like that. Sure. And the unregulated markets, we're definitely into that too as well. So, yeah, like really everywhere.
And we have some stores sometimes we don't even know that they carry us because we sell to distributors, so they sell to all these stores across the country. So sometimes we'll be out there doing sales and we go in there and we'll go, oh, you already carry us. Okay.
Cool. How's it going?
So, I mean, yeah, let's kind of dive into this. Yeah. I mean, the reason why I think it's really cool that you guys are here is, you know, I geek out on business and all that stuff. And, you know, it's refreshing to be around a group of guys that really kind of get the way, you know, businesses work and all that stuff. And you guys are a shining example of that, I believe in the cannabis industry.
Appreciate that.
And, but yeah, all right. So, I mean, you know, I just want to frame this up because, you know, a lot of people feel left out in the cannabis game, right? A lot of people feel like they can't really, you know, the barrier to entry is too much for them, right? When it comes to a license or, you know, finding investors and, you know what I mean? Maybe they didn't go to business school and you know, maybe they went, you know, they love cannabis, but they don't know how to get in, right? And so they just kind of give up and they don't really even try. Right. And it's a shame. Right. And I think, you know, we kind of have some parallels. Right. Because, you know, we didn't have a bunch of money to get a cannabis brand. Right. But we still felt like we deserved to be in the industry and we had value. And, we've been working to kind of play that out. And I think that you guys have done that, too. Right. In the ancillary side of it, when I say ancillary. Right. Like the things around cannabis, right? And you build a huge business, a huge brand around that ancillary side. And now it's created the opportunity for you guys to really get into the market with a THC brand. It's a beautiful fucking thing.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely approached it in a different way with hitting the battery market first and kind of building the brand through that instead of just going flat out as a whole cannabis company. Yeah, it's different.
I think the way we did it allowed us to see the market develop.
Yeah.
So we could see how we want to enter. But I would say this, as far as getting the cannabis market and running another business, I would say this is the hardest business I've ever done. This is the hardest job I've ever done. There's definitely a lot of sleepless nights. It was definitely a struggle. You know, we're 3 years into this and, you know, we still, even though our brand's pretty big and stuff, you know, we never feel completely always secure. We're always thinking of what can we do next? How can we make things better? Like, what's coming next? Because we know that, like, things are always in change and always in movement. And we need to really be on top of that.
So I think it's, so was it always the plan for you guys to maybe get to the point of having your own THC product? And your kind of plan was to start on the ancillary side and build a brand? Or did it just that kind of come later, right?
No, actually it was our plan. We had actually planned to use our devices and stuff as essentially a Trojan horse for branding, because it didn't require us the cost of the license for a marijuana license. We essentially had to have some business licenses in some certain states, vaporizer distribution licenses if certain states required it that we sold in. But it was essentially a branding strategy that we've been running, and we knew that, like, we knew when the facilities were getting up here that there would be some bumps in the road, and we decided, you know, based on what we had seen in other legal states, that, you know, it was maybe just to exercise some patience and let the market, you know, develop and mature. And then when that market is developed and matured, then we, you know, have a brand that we could enter into the market with.
Yeah, it's fucking beautiful. Honestly, I was reading I run in the mornings and I listen to, like, audiobooks, right? And just saying, right?
Just run 5 miles every day and listen to audiobooks while you guys sleep.
Some of us are driven, you know. This particular book, it was like just talking about, like, you know, the guys that are successful. Well, it was actually Tillman Fertitta is what I was listening to.
Tillman Fertitta, owner of the Golden Nugget.
Yeah.
The Golden Nugget.
And related to the owners of the Station Casinos and...
owns about everything.
UFC. Well, it sold UFC, but Houston Rockets too, shout out.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, it's like you got to think like a chess player, right? And I think the average person, right? And it's really just being in kind of like in touch with the way that you think, right? And being able, I think the average person, you know, thinks about three steps ahead, right? And for most people, that's get out of bed, take a shower, and drive my ass to work, right?
Yes,
and then,
pretty much.
And they don't, you know, a lot of people don't think any further than that. And I don't think that it's like, you know, it's like talking bad about humanity or whatever, but I think just the awareness of how you can kind of like strategize, you know, you can come in, you know, at a certain level and compete with some of these bigger guys, right? Just by thinking ahead, starting exercising your patience, doing the branding play with the ancillary, and then having all that leverage, right, with all the new markets that you guys have entered, and now you guys are there. Now you guys have now you can walk up into a place and be like,
and they know who we are now.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, and not know who they are. I mean, you guys already sell a majority of the dispensaries anyways.
Yes.
And just, you know, now, yeah, just trying to put all the pieces together and finish the puzzle pretty much. That's right. I mean, objectively, that's always been the goal, but yeah, I think that different approach.
And I think the hard part was exercising that patience and knowing that you have to wait for that, you know, the market to develop and exercise that discipline, because, you know, you can get lost in a sea of just spending all your capital out, and then next thing you know, you're not able to move on anything.
Whew. Sounds like a scary place to live, man.
Ooh, that's treacherous waters.
Don't be afraid to say no. You know, don't always so be quick to rush into, you know, if it doesn't feel right, something feels a little, you know. I remember.
Don't be afraid to fail. And I would say this is that, you know, I created another company here in Vegas once before that was a multi-million dollar company, and ultimately in the end we failed. And it was a really tough thing to go through. But I will tell people, you know, talking to investors and stuff today is that they like the fact that I went through that, mm-hmm. because they know that I know what it's like to go down that bad road, mm-hmm. and that I was able to keep my head up and I finished the path. Right. And I got back on the horse again and decided to create another company and just, you know, not repeat some of the same mistakes they made before.
Yeah. I mean, you got to dive in. You got to mess it up and figure it out. And, you know, not all opportunities get lined up, and some of them do fail, right? But when you do get back in the game and, you know, get up to the bat, right, and you're ready to take that swing, you can kind of see some of the things coming, right?
Yes,
or at least be like, okay, I know this is coming, right? I'm going to plan for this contingency, right? I'm going to, you know, put some things in place to where, you know, when this does happen, we can still get the ball down the field.
Yeah,
you know?
Correct. And one of the things I always learned is that expect the unexpected, plan for the best or plan for the worst essentially, and hope for the best. Yes, thank you.
Yeah,
had that backwards.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a really hard thing is that when you understand that like things are not going to go right all the time, there are going to be stressful days. There are going to be days that something happens that you didn't plan on, some sort of problem that you have to tackle, and I would say in business, you know, just realize it's a continuous thing that happens, because you're, you know, sometimes learning as you go along too. So then you do something, you go, oh, I really didn't work out the way I thought it would. Now I've got to spend all this time fixing it.
100%. Yeah.
Let's check it out. Let's check out the mini tank, right?
Couple of things about it. It's a 500 mAh lithium ion battery. Fits any 510 threaded cart up to a gram and a half size. This is a half gram empty cart. I go through quite often, quite fast. But it's micro USB, five clicks on and off, and then you're also going to have a 1.8 preheat function with a 3.7 volt too as well on it. So nice. Basically, has everything that you would want or possibly need for an oil cart, without all the extra fat, basically, mm-hmm. all the other bells and whistles that you never use.
Nice.
12 month warranty on everything. You know, the big thing is with these is the size, obviously, but the battery life and how long. You'll get about 4 to 5 days on a single charge. You'll go through this whole half gram cart before you got to worry about charging the battery. So for a daily user, it's like a trusty rusty, this thing. You can always depend on it, grab it, and you're good to go. A lot of people actually will be like, oh, we get customer service calls and be like, I think my battery's broken or whatever. And it's like, oh, have you charged it? Well, no, actually, I haven't yet. It's been the first time. And then so it's like, well, yeah, you got to plug it in, man. It's time to charge it. It's been a while. And they're like, well, I've had it for a while. And it's like, well, then, yeah, it should plug it in. Give it a shot.
How did you guys come up with that design? Like, what was the method to the madness behind that?
Originally, to be honest, we were looking at, before anybody started carrying the iMini vape, we were looking at that and going, well, this is a really cool, neaky little device. But then we were like,
there's a lot of flaws.
It didn't, like, the cartridge wasn't protected. And I thought, I was like, well, if I just drop this on the street, because, you know, I drop things. That happens to me all the time. And I was like, you know, I could imagine like a cartridge breaking on me. And I was like, I'd be pretty upset if I dropped like a half gram cartridge I just got from the dispensary and there goes all my oil on the street.
Right.
You know, so I was like, you know, we gotta make it kind of hidden. And then, you know, we wanted it to be small so it was concealable. Like one of the issues I had is, you know, I don't know, back in the day was always trying to get into some concerts with some weed.
Yeah.
And so we kind of made the devices in a way that it was small enough to kind of get into places and stuff.
Not that we're recommending taking weed to public places, but if you wanted to, Roke can be a good option for
that. Yeah, definitely a good, nice, convenient, perfect.
I have a mini tank.
I got a couple of those mini tanks.
When my mini tank's loaded, I smoke it wherever the fuck I want. Well, nobody even cares, right?
I don't think anyone really even knows.
No, and that's the best thing about it is it makes it into ways. You smoke it, and I do it around my family and stuff like that. And a lot of times, they don't even know I just did it. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's at family events, little barbecues, do your thing, boom, none the wiser. You know, so not that saying that you have to hide it or anything, but it helps for the moments.
Yeah, but there's still definitely still a stigma out there. You know, you're right?
Still gonna fight that.
I made a post yesterday on Instagram that kind of talked about that. I was me and JC got to go on this pretty cool experience. What was that, Tuesday? Two days ago. A good friend of ours, Gentique, set up this like little tour. Like we started at her restaurant on 7th Carson, and then we went over to Nuwu Cannabis Lounge.
Love that restaurant, by the way.
Yeah,
it's great. Yeah, and then we did like the $10 menu.
Yeah, so they have the industry night at 7th Carson, $10 plates.
Yeah,
and then they have an industry night at Nuwu in the tasting room.
Every Tuesday, right?
I guess their $20 pre-rolls are discounted or something like that.
All right, that's a pretty cool place to hang out.
And then she had the shuttle, and we went to both. Yeah.
Yeah, so we went to go check it out, and while we were there, this girl Tina, who works with Old Pal, was talking about how she had to go to a meeting, like a town hall meeting, on behalf of you know, some dispensary because she worked with Normal, and she was talking about how there was like, you know, 4,000 people there, and she was like one of them, and 3,999 were against cannabis, and she was the only person that was there for cannabis.
Oh, sure.
And like she said, there's probably like 50 people who didn't care, but everybody else cared.
Yeah.
And they were all there, informed, ready to rock and roll. Just for, I think it was a dispensary in Summerlin. And so it's funny to me, right? Because I saw something on the Instagram the other day that was talking about like propaganda of like, you know, say like, it was like a picture. It's like a picture. It's like this nice harmonious picture with like a tree and some birds and some dogs. And it was like before dispensary and then after dispensary, it was like this like crooked fences. It was hilarious. I wish I had it so I could show you guys. But yeah, so you know the stigma's definitely there. So obviously, you know, having stuff like that is, you know, convenient for now.
Well, definitely, yeah. Like even coming up Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Thanksgiving.
All the family coming in. You know, the weird old uncle. You know,
that nobody ever.
Well, that guy, you always wanted to find out that guy. You know, you go with your cousins, hey, I gotta go for a walk, you know, kind of deal, and come back, you know, before dinner. But
now in my family, that is me.
Yeah. That's
I'm the uncle then.
I had to be the spearhead in my family. No one was doing it before. And then I was like, all right, I'm gonna make this a thing. And now we're like a group of like 10 strong.
Yeah.
Out there, like, okay, we're all taking a walk. Like, where are you guys going? Don't worry about it.
I've always just wanted to go in and hit up the turkey right before.
Oh, yeah.
You know, family doesn't know. Just baste the turkey. It. Just put a nice big old
TNC butter.
Yeah. Just put it all on. A little garnish.
I haven't done that yet. I haven't had the medicated turkey yet.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Yeah, I don't know if I have.
I think that might be a new thing.
I think there will be some people doing it this year.
I'm sure.
I'm sure.
It's already happened.
It really would be hard to do because all you have to do is make the butter and then just lather it on to the turkey and throw it in the oven. There you go. You got THC.
Yeah, that last little.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what you guys are getting into next, right? So we've kind of set the stage of how you guys kind of got into the market with, you know, little to nothing, right? And
yeah,
built a brand, and then kind of gave you guys leverage to create opportunities for you guys. And
well, I would say is we were successful in raising some investor capital. So I would say is that being part of in this industry, that has been tied to some of the success in the companies, was being able to raise some capital. You know, we were able to raise at Roke in just short of $1 million. So we did have some funding and stuff to kind of get out there and push it. You know, it was expensive to bring in, you know, big inventories. Essentially, like with the mini tanks, is like we've had to carry as much as sometimes like 15,000-16,000 units at a time to meet demand. Sometimes we sold as many as like 10,000 of them in a month.
Yeah. Jesus.
So, you know, and one of the things is I found out in the business is that, you know, we keep having to expand our inventory, which means that we need more money each time to do this. Mm-hmm. So that was some key, and kind of when we're moving into now, like you saw, like the mini tank, we came out with our Viper battery.
Yes.
Which was kind of like the concept of, like, you know, concealing the battery. So we have the new Viper battery, which now conceals it inside the battery. This conceals the cartridge down. Mm-hmm. Again, kind of like that same concept before, as I wanted to hide and protect the cartridge so it wasn't seen. A lot of people think our Viper device is a battery charger. So that works out well a lot of times, especially when they don't see the cartridge sticking out. And then actually we'll be releasing in the next day or two. Actually, I think we believe just got the stock at the warehouse today. I haven't even been there to see it yet, but we have the new Rokin Rage coming out.
What is that?
Well, the Rokin Rage is kind of like the same concept of the mini tank, but a lesser expensive version. So we have it's still a 3.7 volts. Mm-hmm. And a 280 mAh battery. It has the slide shield, and it also has the lanyard that the mini tank comes with. So it's kind of like the same concept, same shape, but at a price point of almost about 30% cheaper than the mini tank.
Wow, that's awesome.
So
different price points, different markets.
What are they usually retail at? Like, what's the mini tank retail at usually?
$28, $27.95.
And then, so the Rage is going to be like around 20?
Yeah, $19.95.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's like I said, it's just the major difference is the preheat and the size of the battery. So the idea was like, we were like, well, a lot of people have these stick batteries and they're like, you know, 280 mAh to 320 mAh.
Yeah, everybody's
yeah, like that.
And we were like, basically.
But if we put them in your, like, what I've had a problem with my stick batteries before was that when I put them in my pocket and I sat down, sometimes I've broken them.
Oh, yeah.
And,
too many times.
And so what we wanted to do was get to the price point of some of the stick batteries, but then keep it small and compact like the mini tank. So what we did is we essentially built kind of like almost like a stick battery per se type thing in the performance in the shape of the smaller shape like a mini tank.
Yeah, a box mod.
So now you can go to, you know, we'll be able to have them at the dispensaries and stuff, and they sell them for like, you know, $20. So it's, you know, it's basically right along the lines of some of the stick batteries that are out there.
Of course, yeah. So.
But way better.
Yeah.
And it's got the lanyard with it, so it's cool, and you know, nice. it fits your full gram, your half gram, so.
Oh, you get the lanyard with it.
Yeah, it comes with it. Nice. The mini tank's still going to have, it has the preheat function, it's going to have the different color options. Mm-hmm. Rage is only going to be in black and gray. We're also going to, so the preheat.
Yeah, we got just a...
Well, and the bigger battery.
Yeah.
Honestly, the mini tank for the battery size is a good thing. The Rage, even like kind of more into like extraction type companies, maybe possibly interested in looking up doing something different, that kind of aspect, maybe get down that road. But for longer lines, it's just nice, more affordable.
Yeah, we want a different level of price points. We try to make things, you know, we try to make really good quality products, but also affordable because, you know, I know what it's like. I'm out there at the dispensary too, buying my products and stuff today. And, you know, a lot of us are very price conscious today about what we spend. So, you know, we understand that. We want to make good quality products, but we don't want to break the bank.
Yeah. So,
you know, we want you to enjoy and still have some money to spend.
to buy the cannabis to smoke in the Rokin, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, our objective is for you guys to get high with us every day and be able to trust us every day to get high. And we want to get high with you every day, too. So, price points, product quality, this is all a big thing. And then
our next step is to, you know, make the THC products that go with our devices. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said, due to what's going on with the vape issue and stuff today, we want to be able to, you know, say for sure that you have a safe product. And we believe the way that to handle that today is to be involved in the manufacturing of the consumable that's going into our devices. Yeah. And having a say in that. And I think that's kind of like, you know, going to be the start of something else at Rokin right now.
Nice. That's awesome.
So what does that look like? Is that what kind of process are you?
Yeah, we're probably looking at it as like it's going to take a time process. We have to develop everything. We're right in the starts of doing all that. So I wouldn't expect to see anything from us maybe till about March.
Okay.
Next year.
Okay. Nice. And then what products do you think you're going to drop with?
I think we're probably going to start off with oil cartridges and concentrates. Since we were making oil cartridge batteries and concentrate pens, we decided, you know, to pair the consumable with it. That's that's probably the best way for us to start.
Are you particular on, like, you know, like a sauce or a batter or a crumble or honeycomb or anything of that nature? Like,
I mean, personally, I love some live resin batter.
Yeah.
And butter, you know what I mean? I do like to dab as well and stuff, so I definitely enjoy that stuff. Whenever I can get anything live resin with a higher terp content, I'm definitely down for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's awesome. Yeah, do you think that you'd probably do that in the carbs as well too, or you'd probably shoot from, like, more of a distillate?
We're in the middle of researching that, but we want to make, you know, we want to make a good product, but we want to stick with the same concept we have with our devices. It's like, we want to make you a good product, but we also want to make it affordable too.
We're trying to
right now research like a happy medium where we have, making the product where it's like, it's a good product, but it's not breaking the bank as well. Like, we know that we could make some really awesome products and amazing things, but unfortunately, sometimes when we do that, it can be also more expensive.
Pricey.
And so we want everybody to enjoy it. So we probably will at some point, you know, here and there, make some really expensive, some cool stuff.
Do some tiered pricing.
But I think the majority of the product will be affordable.
That's awesome. You know, definitely, you know, you want to make sure that everyone can consume your products. So
it
makes sense. Obviously, yeah, I mean, that's what the goal you're doing with, you know, the new Rage. It's called Rage.
The new Rage batteries.
So that's awesome.
And since we're, you know, not, we have to work with a facility here, but we also do our own equipment. So there's, as far as, you know, cutting the cost to the consumer and stuff, we believe that because we already know how to do the packaging and stuff like that, there's a lot of stuff that we don't have to do outside of house. We don't have to contract, that we do all in house. Mm-hmm. And because we do it all in house, that there's a cost savings there, and we try to pass that down.
It's beautiful. You guys built it. I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What's the end goal with Rokin? Like, what's like big picture?
Well, big picture is we want to become a complete marijuana brand.
Yeah.
And always possible.
Yeah. And always possible, whether it's, you know, starting out, like I said, with the devices and the consumables. I know we have a lot of requests for t-shirts and hats. We are getting to that. We've had a hard time keeping up with the device demand as it was growing. So, you know, that's kind of the idea, is just to become a complete marijuana brand. Everything marijuana, you know, Rokin is about. It's a culture part to us. It's part of our lives. So we're trying to, you know, share essentially our culture with everybody else.
Nice.
And saying, this is like how we live. We talked about, you know, Rokin as being first in our marketing is a lot of outdoor stuff. And we focused on a lot of outdoor, like hiking and traveling and stuff, because that's really what we do. We wouldn't want to show like a marijuana stoner sitting on a couch. We were like, no, a lot of people get out. Like, we don't, you know, people just think they're lazy. This isn't true. You know, this is the thing. So I think Rokin's going to be built as a whole complete marijuana brand, not only, you know, to share with people, but also to educate people that some of the stigmas they know about marijuana are not true, and to show them that, you know, these are hardworking people and stuff that are consuming this product.
Nationwide. World domination.
I know, I bust my ass. Yeah. I smoke weed.
Yeah, right.
It's true.
Good.
Well, shit, man. I want to go on and on about the support that you've given us over the years, and I've hoped that, you know, you guys have enjoyed participating in our events as much as we've enjoyed having you over the last couple of years. And
well, I think we've enjoyed it just as much as you guys have, and everybody else come in 10. You know, we go there, we promote, but it's fun for us too.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we really look forward to it and enjoy it. And I think it's been become your events become like really a part of the culture of the city and the marijuana culture. So, you know, we want to be a part of that culture.
Nice.
In this city. And I think it's just you know, being a part of our community and showing our support for our community.
And it's fun to watch everybody grow, you know, kind of just like the plant, but everything else grows in unison.
Beautiful.
It's awesome.
Right? It is beautiful. I mean, we have some, you know, Tony and I have been like strategizing for next year and grinding, and we've got some really things, you know, coming up that we're proud of, and, you know, can't wait to share that with you guys and you know, at all of our events next year. I think we're going to do quarterly events next year.
Yes, quarterly events next year.
Quarterly events, less of them, but they'll be, you know, twice as big, you know.
Yes, and maybe Northern Nevada will make an appearance.
Yeah, we'll definitely do something up there. We're going.
That would be cool,
Well, we're headed to Reno, aren't we, Tony?
Yeah, we're headed to Reno. Shout out to all my Reno peeps.
Listen,
Do you want to, anything you want to shout out, want to plug, right before we got about...
Well, I wanted to plug, you know, again, that we've got the Rokin Rage. It will be on the website this weekend.
Where can they find you?
RokinVapes.com. is the best way. We also have, you know, there's a dealer locator there. So if you'd like to hit any of our local stores, there's a lot of local stores in Las Vegas and stuff that carry us. So I would definitely hit up our dealer locator and check out that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely ask your bud tenders, your smoke shop owners, hey, where can I get my Rokin?
Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff.
Yeah, Instagram, Facebook, at Twitter, Rokin. We're at all. Rokin Vapes.
At Rokin Vapes.
Yep, always Rokin Vapes.
Can they find you personally anywhere on Instagram?
Yeah, he's the
unless you don't want
Rokin
to
OG.
Yeah, he's the Rokin OG. I'm just Tyler Rokin Vapes.
There
nice, nice.
Yeah. And you can find one of our, you know, one of the guys who does the head of sales in the East Coast, Disney, the Rokin Adventure. Yes. He does a ton of videos and stuff. So
I follow him on. I follow all you guys. On Instagram.
Yeah, and then also too, our office manager Audrey. She's kind of behind the scenes a lot of the time, but she holds it down.
She's the rock. She does some graphic design stuff.
Yeah,
too.
She does a lot of great. All of our design work, everything like
which is
all her. So she everything really design wise, graphics wise, and stuff like that, social media wise that you see.
All the ads, all the packaging. She's behind the scenes running it for us there, you know.
Nice. That's awesome.
So, yeah, good stuff.
Well, great. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show. We really, really appreciate it. We'll be back next Thursday for episode number 19. Yeah. And yeah, thank you so much for guys watching. This is the Culture and Cannabis Podcast. I'm Anthony Lee, aka Full Time Tony.
JC Coates.
And we'll see you guys next week. Peace.
Peace.